Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
So we're, what, a month away from the Indy 500, and the IndyCar has made an announcement.
Oh!
No political branding on any vehicles at the 500.
Oh, that's so interesting.
This after it's being reported that there was a request put in by Trump and also RFK Jr.
Yeah, so basically what they have said, and it's pretty hard to blame them, that they said, so we're not wading into this. We want to be universally, we want the sport itself.
Mm-hmm. To be the focus?
To be the focus and be the reason the sport itself lives or dies. And, you know, if we're going to talk about this in the sense of, you know, these other media organizations or entertainment organizations or professional sports teams taking a knee or whatever, then we got to kind of be consistent on this and say that's probably a good thing even when it's our guy. And I'm sure, because clearly it became pretty clear that Trump and RFK wanted to advertise. Mm-hmm. It's the world's single largest single day sporting event. Try to say that nine times fast. The world's largest single day sporting event. Mm-hmm. Naturally, you've got hundreds of thousands of people on the track itself. It is broadcast all over the world. On the radio broadcast, you've got them saying the names of the car, the Donald Trump car,
right?
You know, run by so-and-so. And so if you're, you know, one of these campaigns, it's kind of probably some good value and good exposure. But I kind of see where IndyCar's coming with this and putting the kibosh on it right out of the gate. I'm kind of for that, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so Racer reported this. They said that all the requests were denied and that IndyCar does not approve sponsorships associated with elected officials, candidates for political office, or even political action committees. So not even PACs. Nobody can do anything. But can you imagine if you're at the track, think about this scenario. You're in the grandstands, and all of a sudden, the Trump car goes whizzing by all of the possibly Trump flags or American flags at all. Yeah! Yeah. You know, Trump car. And then, being that we're in red Indiana, mm-hmm. and then a Biden car sure. drives by, boo, you know, I could see it. And the potential for civil unrest to take place as opposing sides express their opinions.
You know, and IndyCar probably made a decision, rightfully so, and I don't know exactly how the whole financial aspect works. We could probably have some people on. By the way, we got to get Mark Janes back on, our friend, the voice of the Indy 500. We're getting into that season. We always have him on before the 500. But where they probably say, look, whatever money a team is going to make is going to pale in comparison. Because let's face it, it's probably going to be a lower level team that is going to need to engage in seeking political candidates. You know, some person who's desperately trying to get in the 500, they're going to be a back end car. And the 500 is probably an IndyCar as a collective is probably just saying, look, whatever money you're going to get, that don't really help us at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's probably not a front runner. You know, it's not Dixon
yeah.
that's going to be doing this. And so they probably said, we are not dealing with this drama. And like I said, I support this 100%. It's your organization. Keep all the politics out of it.
Right.
Do it for both sides.
Let's just enjoy racing.
Let the race be the race.
Yeah. So last year, the race drew over 300,000 fans, expected to be just as much this year. So I agree with you. I think it's a smart move. Don't put anybody's security at risk. I mean, it's already a major event to keep secure and to keep everybody safe. And then if you've got tempers flaring and, you know, you're on different sides of the aisle, that's just a recipe for disaster. So it's probably a smart move.
This isn't our rainbows segment, but mm-hmm. let's talk about something good for a second, though, which is that IndyCar, and this is totally credit to, you know, the people who run that organization. It's a credit to Penske. It's a credit to Doug Bowles. It's a credit to all of those people. To come out of that dark era of IndyCar where you're not even sure, is this going to last? Is this going to exist? You know, and even beyond the split, I mean, it took, you know, a decade and a half or more. They totally not only revitalized the Indy 500, you could make a compelling case that you are entering a new golden era of the Indy 500. When you couple in, you know, it's always a great race and people went for the racing, but when you, what they've, you know, kind of made the whole week of the 500 and the carb day and all of these things and the improvements to the motor speedway and the, just quite frankly, the improvements to the city or the town of Speedway itself, it's really, those guys deserve a ton of credit because they have brought the thing back. And I'll tell you what this kind of gives me hope for is, obviously, I'm a golf fan, and I see golf is in a dark place right now because of this LIV PGA Tour split, and you just simply every week don't have some of the best players in the world competing against each other, and the LIV Tour is a joke. I mean, it's like party central, and so those guys are just there for the guaranteed payout for the most part, and then you got the PGA guys who it's a fraction of the talent they were competing against. It gives me hope that hopefully, much like with IndyCar, that the thing can eventually come back together, and maybe out of that comes a new golden era for golf. IndyCar's done awesome.
It's very rare when somebody says, hey, we're going to be stronger and better than ever, that they actually do it. So when was it that Penske bought it? Was it 2018, 2019? And then right after that, COVID.
Yeah.
And he had to have been questioning his investment at that point. Did I make the right decision here?
Do you have the list of things that they said they're banning again? I realize I'm hitting you with that. You just gave a list, right, of things that they, like, it's PAX, it's all, it's these different things that they're putting the ban on. Because somebody in our YouTube chat asked a good question, and I just wondered if they covered that under the listing and if you have that.
So this comes from an IndyCar spokesperson, and they said IndyCar does not approve sponsorships associated with elected officials.
Uh-huh.
Candidates for political office or PACs, political action committees.
So this is probably covered in that because Jim in the YouTube chat, I thought this was a fair question. What about like something like Right to Life, pro-choice, breast cancer awareness, men's health care? So like where does that kind of stop? Well, it sounds like if there is in any way a political affiliation with that. Mm-hmm. So like Right to Life, I think is a political, has a political action arm to them. So it would probably be covered under that. The pro-abortion groups, it's a political action arm, so that would probably be covered under that in terms of the ban.
It sounds to me like IndyCar just wants to stay clear of politics.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
Let's just focus on racing.
Where does it go? Where, on the other hand, like breast cancer awareness is not a political action thing, or men's health care, prostate, get your prostate checked, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not a political action.
Oh, give them time, Rob.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, like, there's got to be some common sense applied to this. So yeah. I just thought that was a good question.